Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld leaves the Pentagon with a public approval rating below 30%. That's even lower than the president's. Secretary Rumsfeld has angered members of Congress from both parties, and he's taken most of the blame for the administration's Iraq strategy, leaving the top military commanders protected from criticism. As NPR's Guy Raz reports, that's about to change.
Up until about April 1968, the military men running the Vietnam War could, without wincing, say things like,
"Militarily, we have never been in a better relative position in South Vietnam."
Now, when General William Westmoreland said this, nearly 30,000 U.S. troops were already dead in Vietnam, and the Tet Offensive was setting the country on fire. His boss, Defense Secretary Robert McNamara, had just quit, and the finger-pointers in Congress needed a new target, which soon enough became Westmoreland. Now, keeping this in mind, consider the way General John Abizade, basically the man in charge of executing the Iraq strategy, consider how he was grilled by senators a few weeks ago on Capitol Hill. Here's Republican John McCain, for example.
"General, it's not encouraging to us. It's not encouraging to those of us who heard time after time that things are, quote, progressing well, that we're making progress, etc., because we're hearing from many other sources that that's not the case."
This is not the way generals are normally treated on Capitol Hill. There's usually a lot of backslapping and fawning and deference. So why, all of a sudden, the change? Well, retired Army Colonel Andrew Bacevich says one of the effects of removing Donald Rumsfeld from office
was removing the guy who had been the lightning rod for criticism. And as he passes from the scene, I think we will see, we are already seeing, that the senior military leadership is going to come in for more critical scrutiny.
And not just Abizade, but George Casey, who's now the top ground commander in Iraq, and perhaps even his predecessor, Ricardo Sanchez, a retired general who, in Bacevich's opinion, is due for a grilling.
He assumed that we could snuff out the insurgency through the use of force, by kicking down doors, through intimidation, and the effect of that was simply to pour fuel on the fire and make matters much, much worse.
Now, generals are not policymakers. They carry out orders. But the current crop of top military leaders, says Bob Scales, himself a former general, were all handpicked by Rumsfeld.
"I can't think of another period in American history where the civilian leader has had more influence in picking senior uniformed generals and admirals."
What's interesting about Rumsfeld, though, is he's a keen student of Vietnam history and the failures of the military leadership to level with their civilian bosses at the time. There's a good book about this period of history called Dereliction of Duty. And according to Ken Edelman, a former advisor to Rumsfeld,
"It's very funny that during one of our trips together, Rumsfeld made me read McMaster's book, Dereliction of Duty, on how the Joint Chiefs really caved under McNamara. And Rumsfeld had me sit there and read it. I think we were going around the world at the time. And kept talking about how terrible it was that the military went along with McNamara and wouldn't stand up to him."
Was there a message there? That wasn't clear to Ken Edelman, but if you ask some mid-level officers what they think, privately, about whether the top generals of Iraq should be held accountable for mistakes, the answer you often get is, "Have you read Dereliction of Duty?" Guy Raz, NPR News, Washington.